Radio Prague News.
Charges have been filed against former Prime Minister Petr Nečas and his wife. Politician Michal Hašek has for years been represented by a non-existent spokesperson, according to a newspaper report. And the Czech Foreign Minister is about to start a four-day trip to the United States. The state attorney has filed charges against one-time Prime Minister Petr Nečas and his wife Jana Nečasová over allegations of bribery. Their case involves the accusation that they offered three MPs in Mr. Nečas's Civic Democratic Party positions at state companies in exchange for backing a government bill. Mrs. Nečasová at that time headed Mr. Nečas's office. The three MPs concerned have not been charged. Mrs. Nečasová also faces charges of not paying tax on gifts such as jewellery and expensive handbags valued at 10 million crowns. Her arrest in 2013 helped bring about the fall of Mr. Nečas's cabinet. South Moravian Regional Governor Michal Hašek has for years been represented by a non-existent spokesperson, Mladá Fronta.cz reported on Tuesday. The newspaper said that the fictitious Lucia Protníková was a cover for lobbyist Jana Mrencová, who has been found guilty of attempting to bribe journalists. Mr. Hašek said he had no idea who Protníková was, despite the fact that she'd issued a statement on his behalf only last month, according to the Daily. Mrs. Mrencová denies the accusation. The Czech Foreign Minister Lubomír Zaorálek is beginning a working visit to the US, during which he will take part in a number of high-level meetings. On Tuesday, Mr. Zaorálek will be received at the United Nations in New York by its General Secretary Ban Ki-moon before speaking at the UN's Economic and Social Council. The Czech foreign policy chief will also attend a pledging conference in support of Iraq and a global coalition against ISIL meeting during his four-day stay. US citizen Kevin Dahlgren, who's charged with four murders, attempted to cut himself and tried to grab a guard's baton while in custody, according to a prison report read on Tuesday in the court in Brno, where he is standing trial. The 24-year-old was placed in a prison psychiatric wing following the incidents. Dahlgren could face life in prison if found guilty of killing four relatives of his in Brno in 2013. He immediately fled to the US but was later extradited to face justice in the Czech Republic. A woman who stabbed a teenage boy to death in a school attack is said to remain in secure detention, a Brno court ruled on Tuesday, representing the recommendation of an expert committee. Barbara Orlova, who is 27, killed the youth who was protecting a female classmate at a secondary school in the Vysočina town of Zdjar nad Sázavou in 2014. She carried out the attack less than a year after being released from a psychiatric institution where she'd been placed over a previous non-fatal school attack. Finance Minister Andrej Babiš says he secured the funds to increase teachers' pay from September, not January, as originally planned. Mr. Babiš told Czech TV that the money would come from savings made in the servicing of the state debt. The government last month approved an 8% rise in teachers' salaries from the start of next year. Unions have been pushing for the increase to be brought forward to coincide with the start of the academic year. The cabinet will discuss the matter next week. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Ruth Franjková. Coming up in today's program, Czech politicians have urged the Turkish authorities to respect the rule of law. Investors seek to reinvent the wheel on the banks of the Vltava in Prague. And later on in the program, find out about the brutal assault music festival which gets underway in the Czech Republic in just a few weeks' time. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Amid growing international concern over developments in Turkey in the wake of last week's failed coup, Czech politicians have urged the Turkish authorities to respect the rule of law and not use the attempted coup to suppress political opponents. The latest events have also led many to question the wisdom of starting EU accession talks with a country ready to reintroduce the death penalty. Daniela Lazarova has more. Although the Czech authorities were quick to condemn the attempted coup in Turkey and express support for the democratically elected president and government, the events of the past few days have raised growing concern regarding the direction which the country appears to be taking. In an interview for Czech public radio, Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka said Turkey was an important ally and partner for Europe and expressed the hope that the country would not jeopardize this relationship and its present role by abandoning democratic principles and values.
My potřebujeme stabilní Turecko.
We need a stable Turkey, a country with a democratic government that respects the rule of law, a country with whom the EU can cooperate in finding a solution to the crisis in Syria, and a partner for the EU in seeking a solution to the migrant crisis.
Které bude spolupracovat s Evropskou unií na řešení migrační krize.
The Prime Minister expressed concern over the developments of the past hours, predominantly proposals for capital punishment to be reintroduced retroactively and the sweeping purge in the army and judiciary. He said the latest events were being closely monitored and could have far-reaching consequences in damaging the deepening relationship between the EU and Turkey. Foreign Minister Lubomir Zaorálek on Monday echoed a warning from EU Foreign Policy Chief Federica Mogherini, saying the reintroduction of the death penalty would definitively close Turkey's door to the European Union.
Zavedení trestu smrti rozbí všechno. Pokud by skutečně tohle mělo se v Turecku nastavit.
The introduction of capital punishment would break up everything. If this were really to happen, then there would be the end of negotiations about the country's accession to the EU.
Tak se domnívám, že pak nemůžeme mluvit o přistoupení.
The Czech foreign minister stressed that the need to respect the rule of law, adhere to democratic principles and human rights was not something the EU was demanding in the wake of the attempted coup. It was tabled as a basic precondition for the country to be able to join the EU at some future date. Even in the wake of a coup, everyone should have the right to a fair trial, Mr. Zaorálek said. Deputy Prime Minister Pavel Bielobrádek described developments in Turkey as alarming. The lynching of soldiers, calls for the reintroduction of capital punishment and the removal of close to 3,000 judges cannot be described as rule of law. Moreover, it is obvious that the lists of people to be removed were prepared well in advance, Bielobrádek said. Equally strong words came from the opposition benches. Civic Democrat leader Petr Fiala said current developments in Turkey showed it was a mistake to launch accession talks with Ankara and even consider lifting visa requirements for Turkish nationals, while Marek Zhenişek, deputy chair of Topo 9, said Turkey was clearly moving towards a hardline dictatorship and the EU should react to the situation by ending accession talks.
Daniela Lazarová with that report. A Prague district is looking to put itself on the map with a giant big wheel on the embankment of the Vltava River. But while local council leaders are enthusiastic about the project, the plans have had a mixed reception from the public. Chris Johnston has the details.
Many major cities have rushed to make a mark over the last decade or two with a giant wheel, or Ferris wheel, named after the original construction in the United States. Las Vegas, London, Singapore, Chicago and Osaka are a few of the examples. Now Prague's Five District on the left bank of the Vltava is backing its own giant wheel by the river, which it believes will be a draw for locals and tourists alike. Just outside the tourist centre, and less of a draw than the bustling bars on the other side of the river, they are probably right to reckon the Smíchov side has some catching up to do. The current idea for the wheel is that it would be around 60 metres high. That's around half the size of the now landmark London Eye on the banks of the Thames. But it would measure up fairly well against the big wheel in Vienna, originally built in 1897 to mark Emperor Franz Joseph's 50 years on the throne. And the cash backers of the project have already taken one major step with an agreement with Prague 5 Council to rent the proposed site for the future wheel. And one of the biggest worldwide developers of big wheels is also on board. Ploen van Dalen, a manager of big wheels producer Dutch Wheels, was on hand to explain the concept at a press conference in Prague on Tuesday. One of the aims of the conference was to correct some of the past reporting and calm public fears.
I think it can work as in a city like Prague because there is a lot of tourists, and that's the concept that we have for the wheels. So we see the wheel as a destination, which you will see in the presentation. In the end, for a city, it's a landmark, it's a destination, it's a new attraction. For the owners, it can be a very interesting investment.
The idea is the wheel would be a hub that could reinvigorate the whole area with restaurants, cafes, exhibitions, etc. And Mr. Van Dalen says that it does not accept all comers when they come to potential destinations.
We get requests from people that want to install an attraction park and want to put the wheel, and we decline, say, no, it's not our business, you should go somewhere else and buy yourself a attraction park wheel, which is also basically a different type of development, type of product.
The project, with a possible cost of around 200 million crowns, is still very much in its early stages. It still has to get planning approvals and is not that far from the conservation heart of Prague. The investors and planners say the big wheel could be up and running by 2017, but that's the best case scenario, with everything turning out well.
Chris Johnston, thanks for that report. Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. Thousands of fans of extreme metal will be flocking to the Czech Republic in just a few weeks' time for the annual Brutal Assault Music Festival. Established in 1996 as a small show with mainly Czech and Slovak bands, the festival gradually evolved into one of the major events of its kind, with nearly 18,000 visitors coming to last year's 20th edition. This August, the Brutal Assault Festival will again take place at an old army fortress in Josefov, some 130 kilometers east of Prague. Over the course of 4 days, the festival will showcase over 100 bands from all over the world. Liana Sass asked one of the organizers, Tomáš Fiala, to outline the history of the festival.
The concept of the festival is just to bring in an extreme music. It's mostly oriented into the metal extreme music, but you can find the extremes for most of the genres which can be extreme. So this is the basic idea, just to not to have a very strict boundaries, but just try to explore a little bit. It's inside the city Josefov, and it's an old fortress, a classical one. After the Baroque age, it had not changed nearly 10 years, it's 9 years this year. But before that, it used to be 4 or 5 places, and finally we found out a regular home, a place which we can call home.
What about the festival, like by itself? It's developing every year. So what did you change last year or going to change this year?
We tried to make the higher standards and try to make it interesting and more artistic, and that's the direction we try to go every year.
And when do you usually start preparing for the festival? As it might take
a
long
year.
Time.
We are already preparing for 2017 edition. So it's a constant work for most of the time. Like there is no break, really. It's more or less 6 to 8 people the entire year working for the festival itself.
And what about the history? How did you start it?
It's a long time ago, and I was not the guy who started it, but we stepped in with my partner 11 years ago, and it was still a smaller festival. We just tried to make it a little bit different, a little bit more open, and probably it worked out pretty well.
And what about the future plans?
The future plans are bright, just to make us as great as we can, and hopefully we have better tomorrows. There is a great book about the Brutal Assault, which was released for the 20th edition, which was last year. And I would say that there is the real story behind the festival. So whoever is interested in the festival, I would recommend him to go for the book.
And how many bands are coming this year?
Over 100 bands from all over the world.
Okay, thank you, and see you in August on Brutal Assault.
Thank you very much. See you in August. Thank you.
Among regular visitors to the Brutal Assault Music Festival is Matej Struska, a metalhead and sound engineer. Liana Sass asked him how he became a fan.
First time I was there 5 years ago, I was working there. I was stagehand at the time, It was really funny because we had the group of very good people. We just built up the stage, built up the sound and lights, had a time for 3 days to party. And then when festival ends, tear down the stage, sound and lights. I had a good time there. I see the backstage and everything. The interesting thing is also that people are always wondering what happens in the backstage, because, you know, there are musicians and technicians eating, and that's it, no drugs, no girls. But if you got good people around, you always have fun. That's a brutal assault. I think it's a unique festival in Czech, that's for sure. Also in Middle Europe, because it's big, it's brutal, and it's friendly. And you always got a good chat to meet interesting people. It can happen so easily because you're just walking, grab a beer, somebody says, hey, your tattoos look nice, or are you going to this band? And it's all strangers, but have a chat with them, and it's a possibility that those guys become your friends. That's a brutal assault.
So you said Brutal Assault is one of the most interesting festivals in Europe, right? So
yeah,
why?
That's for sure. Because it's legendary. It's not like the other festivals, because there are people from Spain, from France, from Norway. It's a good chance to meet interesting people, meet interesting bands, because the bands are coming to the festival. They are not just standing on the stage, but after the show they are always getting off the stage and they are coming to the people.
So tell me, what kind of music is there? What does it mean, brutal and extreme music?
It's a model of festival which you can see abroad. There are just two stages, and when one ends, the another starts. There is a pause for 5 minutes maybe, but that's a model from abroad, France, Germany. But it's just isn't typical for Czech, because Czech festivals always have one stage, and the Brutal has two. So you can always choose your favorite band and favorite genre of music. And the Brutal is brutal by the bands. It's not like it's only metal, it's mostly the metal, but it's not one style of metal, it's not only death metal or black metal. It's always interesting to see other bands that you don't know. Yeah, that's brutal. The Brutal is for everyone, so age just doesn't matter. There are really old people and really young people. Just festival for everyone, I guess. The Brutal is just promise that I'll have a good time. It's mostly because the people are very nice. It's a spirit of the festival, I would say. I never seen it before, and I visit so many festivals. That's the Brutal.
You are a sound engineer. So what can you say about sound quality on the festival? Like, is it good or bad?
It's a hard question to answer in general, because the obscure promotions, productions. Every year of the festival, they're trying to just get better. And there's something like Nature Auditory, 5 meters above the ground. They are putting there another speakers. From a start, I would answer that quality is good for the things that you're doing. Because, as I already said, there are two stages, no pause for silence. It's quite hard to do a sound check because another stage is playing and you just don't have silence. So you're doing sound check for little speakers in front of house. It's not the PA system, it's only two speakers. And you are just trying to make a good sound quality. The most important thing is that people are having good time, even if the quality is on 80% or 90% or 100%.
Which bands are you excited most of all? Which bands are you waiting this year?
Okay, I don't even know what kind of bands are there. I'm just going there to have a party, and I don't care about the bands. I know that I see something that I will like, but I don't know what's playing there.
Blood and
The Brutal Assault Music Festival will take place between the 10th and 13th of August, and that edition of InFocus by Liana Sass, a student of journalism in Prague, brings us to the end of today's program here on Radio Prague. If you have any comments about today's program, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franková. Thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye. Bye.